Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. My name is Jesse DeLeon, and I'm here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. It is the third Sunday of Advent, and we welcome everyone to the program. How are you?
I'm very well. And of course, today is known as Gaudete Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, which is to rejoice, to be happy, to be more than happy, but to rejoice from within, to really be children of God and to recognize who I am, that I am a child of God, and to be able to rejoice in that. It's not a matter just to take for granted that I can call myself that. Mm-hmm. I truly am. I think it's in the first letter of St. John, which says that who we are is, you know, what we have now, but what we will be is in the presence of God. And God is present to us always, and that presence brings joy. So hopefully this will be a joyful Sunday for everybody, but also a joyful week in preparation for Christmas.
Absolutely. We light the pink candle today on the Advent wreath.
Exactly.
And we're celebrating that as well as we listen to today's gospel on this third Sunday of Advent from Matthew. Bishop, if you would please read that gospel for us now.
This is Matthew chapter 11. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swaying in the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you.' Amen, I say to you, among those born of woman, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As we seem to see the connection between this gospel and the one from last week, and the connection of John the Baptist there, it's affirming to see his connection with Jesus, and it makes us ponder the relationship that they had, the kind of association they had with one another.
Exactly. I mean, John, of course, proclaimed that he was not worthy to to carry the sandal or untie the sandal of Jesus. He had that humble respect, mm-hmm. and humble love, mm-hmm. who was to be his cousin as well, the son of Elizabeth, John, and the son of Mary, Jesus. So he had this incredible rapport with Jesus, mm-hmm. that really that's why that was the purpose of his life here on earth. So it's interesting. I mean, this is a kind of a complicated series of things that are said,
mm-hmm.
But I think that they're very helpful to us if we go through them.
Okay.
When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of Jesus, so John the Baptist is in prison because he was put there by Herod,
mm-hmm.
And so John the Baptist sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?"
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of odd that we would think that John would know.
Right.
But if he's in prison and we're hearing that he's getting all these reports, he wants to make sure that this really is Jesus. And Jesus says to John's disciples, "Go back to John and reply, and go tell John what you hear and see.
Mm-hmm.
The blind regain sight, the lame walk, the lepers cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel. In other words, I think this is an interesting point. They were to observe what Jesus did, not just what he said.
Mm-hmm.
We're very accustomed to kind of an intellectual approach toward Jesus. If someone were to say, today, is Jesus the Lord? Is Jesus the Savior? Well, we might quote different passages from Scripture. Mm-hmm. We might do all sorts of things. Or we might take an intellectual, theological approach. Over the years, of course, we've had to study, who is this Jesus? What is this approach to salvation? So we're kind of in that intellectual mode. But Jesus informed John's disciples to go back and not to say what you heard, that too, but what you've seen. Tell John what I'm doing, what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
To those who are most in need of God's love and God's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
These people, their lives have been affected by the words of Jesus, not only, but also by his actions. And so it's not something about talking, of expecting something, but it's cutting across all these kind of ideas, and it's really saying, this is what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important for us. That is important for us. It's not only who Jesus is in our life, but what he can do for us.
Right. Taking the action, backing the words up with action. And when John hears this, obviously, like you said, he was in prison. His heart is filled knowing that this is the one that he was telling everyone was going to follow him.
Right. I mean, he's aware then with all these signs,
mm-hmm.
of miraculous, mm-hmm. signs that this is the one that God has sent. This is Jesus. This is the Savior. This is the Messiah,
uh-huh.
right here. And then I think that one sentence at the end of this section says, and blessed is the one who takes no offenses at me.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes, you know, even in our faith, our practice of religion, we come to expect certain formalities, we might say.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the Holy Spirit kind of acts in a way or inspires us in a way to act differently, to go beyond the box,
mm-hmm.
you know, to think out of the box,
right.
but also act outside of the box. And we can get criticized for that. I think that's, you know, Jesus kind of set us up for that in many ways in the Gospels when he says, when the poor enter the church, bring them to the front row.
Mm-hmm.
Our custom would be to keep them
in the back,
marginalized.
Right, right.
Uh-huh. I hate to say it that way, but it's many times it's true. It becomes just kind of our modus operandi,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that there are those who have, those who don't have. But Jesus said, with all that he's done, which was kind of beyond the norm, all these cures and things of reaching out to the poor, blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. Jesus is always calling us to look deeper, to not just see the external actions, but to see the internal motivation and motives of God in the action.
Mm-hmm.
What is God? What is the Holy Spirit trying to say to me? I'm giving a retreat this coming February, and they asked me to come and follow a certain path, and it just came to me. The title is Mysticism in Ministry.
Mm. That's a lot to cover in one in one meeting or
they wrote,
retreat.
The priest that wrote that said, that's perfect. Now, he didn't even know what I'm going to talk about. But I think we can do things without the understanding of the power of God in what we do. So our ministry, if we have a ministry, and
mm-hmm.
we all do,
yes,
it becomes, again, kind of just pro forma. We
mm-hmm.
just do this, and, you know, even for a priest, we go to the hospital, we do this. But what motivates that? What motivates that? Is it the power of Jesus in us that wants to speak to a person that is sick or seek healing in the sacrament of the anointing or any of things? It's not just so much that. But am I, in other words, I guess the better way to say it is, am I Jesus in that moment for that person?
Right.
That's the mysticism. Mm-hmm. And that's what we can see, that we may say something that's out of the ordinary, mm-hmm. being that, mm-hmm. don't take offense at that, because I want, my intention is that Jesus is in and working through me. And I think that's what Jesus is saying to John's disciples, tell him mm-hmm. that I'm doing these things and that no one should take offense, because it's the power of God working in and through us.
I think it also, to me, when I read it the first time, it struck me as Jesus saying, those who embrace me, those who accept me, those will take everything that goes with it. Like you're saying, things you may not even understand that you're doing because he's working through you, you understand maybe later on.
Yeah.
But not taking offense means you're not going to shut him out or be so to speak.
Yeah, you know, as you're talking, I think of a beautiful example of that from the gospel when Jesus talks about the prodigal son, mm-hmm. and what he does, leaving the family, taking all the goods that are his.
Right, right.
But spending them on certainly unholy things, mm-hmm. and then expecting the Father to receive him back. It would not be ordinary on a human level.
Right.
And there are two reactions, of course. I'm sure the son that came back, mm-hmm. the prodigal son, was shocked by the openness of his father, the mercy that he found in his father's reaction to him. And then, of course, the other brother that refused that because he did take offense. Mm-hmm. He took offense at God's mercy, took offense at his father's mercy for the other son. And there's that we have to be very, very careful of in our own life. We may see some person, or maybe just in our own judgment, that doesn't deserve what we would say doesn't deserve mm-hmm. Forgiveness, doesn't deserve mercy. And yet someone may give it. Want to give it, and they can be offended by that. Mm-hmm. I've been here doing what's good. I'm a good person. This person's not. And I think one of the in that light, something that always really edifies me is when a family has experienced the tragedy of a loved one and yet finds it some way to forgive the offender. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of going beyond. That is very much going beyond, but it's the mercy of God working in and through them that brings that about. And that's why I think where Jesus is saying here, blessed are those who take no offense mm-hmm. at me. So it's kind of harden not your hearts.
It's such a loaded statement because there's so many things that extend from it. Yeah. Because he's saying that those that don't take offense at me, well, that conjures many images for many people, depending on what those words mean to you. Are you offended? I'm sorry I offended you. Things that we say in everyday language. But when Jesus is saying that, those who don't take offense at me, okay, that opens your eyes to the words and they take on a different kind of meaning, to where it challenges us to be, like you're saying, more open and forgiving to others in line with that sentiment of not taking offense at him.
Yeah, that prodigal son. Mm-hmm. The father wanted to show mercy. He mm-hmm. wanted them to experience mercy. The other son represents kind of the normal way we would say he doesn't deserve it.
Right. Like a typical reaction.
Right.
An everyday reaction.
He doesn't deserve that. Mm-hmm. And maybe he didn't, but in a human sense. But the father wanted to go beyond what is expected and wanted to lavish mercy upon it. The other one is, I mean, you can go through the gospel and find these moments of encounter with mm-hmm. Jesus and other people. Mm-hmm. The other one is the Samaritan woman. He should not have been talking to her mm-hmm. because of social norms, religious norms at the time.
Right.
And yet he did, because he wanted her faith. And so he explained to her who she was, mm-hmm. where she had gone wrong. And others may have seen that and took offense, because here's a Jew speaking to a Samaritan woman. Mm-hmm. That is offensive by the norms. But Jesus goes beyond the norms and opens us to the mercy of God, which is beyond our calculated ideas of things. And that's what Jesus wanted John's disciples to know, that he's done all of these things in assisting people who are in need. And it was beyond the norm, and don't take offense. Blessed are those who don't take offense, but see the hand of God, the mercy of God in these beautiful acts of love and kindness.
And those that don't take offense look deeper. They're not looking at just the surface. Like right. like you're saying, you're the Samaritan and the Jewish person having a conversation, which is unheard of. But they didn't look at that. They focused on the fact that there was an act of charity, an act of
they
love.
They see the action of God going on.
Going through there.
Inspiring through that encounter that's there, yeah. So then if we just move on to the second part of that this gospel, it says, as they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. So John wanted to know about Jesus mm-hmm. through his disciples. Now Jesus wants to speak about John.
Right.
And he says to the crowds, what did you come out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? The reed, of course, if you've been ever to many rivers, but also there, especially there are reeds, kind of, I don't know what you call them, a cattail sometimes, mm-hmm. but they're sticking up on the side of
right.
the river.
Swaying in the wind.
And they're just swaying by mm-hmm. the wind or the motion. So he said, did you come out to see a flimsy prophet
mm-hmm.
carried away by every kind of loose thought?
Uh-huh.
What did you come out to see? Somebody dressed in fine clothing?
Mm-hmm.
So all of these images, these two images especially, speak about the special nature of John. He was not of an upper class that just kind of was at the service of royalty,
mm-hmm.
nor was he kind of a flimsy flip-flop reed blown in the wind
uh-huh.
as far as who he was and his message. He said, I tell you, he's a prophet. A prophet who was strong in his conviction, a prophet who was strong in his life and his testimony to Jesus Christ. And so he says, behold, I'm sending you my messenger ahead of me. Jesus quotes that from the scripture. He will prepare your way before you. So the prophecy was that there would be one that we call the precursor,
mm-hmm.
one that went before, who is John. And so Jesus proclaims John as that precursor. He's the one who has prepared the way for him. But this, I think the last sentence is what's kind of, it's mind-boggling
mm-hmm.
for many.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's well documented. And it says, amen, I say to you, among those born of a woman, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
That really zigzags there,
that
doesn't it?
Takes on a road that's kind of a
curvy. tricky
yeah.
turn there,
tricky
yes.
Turn there. So what could he have meant? Well, we look at the timing.
Mm-hmm.
John the Baptist, of course, was killed by Herod
mm-hmm.
prior to Jesus' own passion, death, and resurrection. So there's no one born of woman that is greater than John. However, those who yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is among us now. And this is very close to the Advent meaning that we live in God. We live in his word.
Mm-hmm.
So John was the precursor to the word, but Jesus was the word. So we take faith in him. So we live the gospel. We live the word. Follow Jesus. But the most important thing for the kingdom of God is what Jesus speaks of in his call to discipleship, to deny yourself, mm-hmm. take up your cross, and follow me.
Follow me.
John gave up his life for Jesus. But in the sense that Jesus calls all of us to live that Paschal mystery, we call it, to die to ourselves,
mm-hmm.
to embrace the cross, which is Jesus's instrument of salvation, and to rise from the dead. John didn't go through that.
Mm-hmm.
The disciple, you and I, and everybody does. And so in that sense, Jesus proclaims us greater than John, in the sense of being lived the Christian life through his word and live the Christian life through his death, life, death, and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So this puts us on another plane, playing field, I guess you might say, than John, that we're really participating in the kingdom of God
mm-hmm.
through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
And it's such a beautiful image because you've got John, you've got Jesus, and their association the way John paved the way, if you will, but at the same time, they're ultimately connected in ways that I think in so many different ways, as you described, that I think it causes us to reflect on how we're waiting for Jesus's arrival in our hearts as well this season.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when I say all of that, I mean, John never experienced the cross. He was not at the cross because he had already died a martyr's death, really. Mm-hmm. He wasn't there to see Jesus on the cross. He wasn't there to experience that excruciating moment and the call for us to take the same path. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in reference to what you just said, I mean, every day there's a cross. Mm-hmm. You know, a cross is not masochistic that I just look for one to beat myself up and make myself right. come into a martyr. But there are crosses mm-hmm. every day, and the cross for the Christian has to be our instrument of salvation, our instrument of joy, our instrument of faith, and our instrument of hope. I know that the Holy Cross Order was taught by St. Edward's. They had their emblem, which was Crux Spes Unicum, the only hope is the cross. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it every day, you do find a cross every day. There's something that upsets us. There's something that goes wrong. There's something that's greater.
A challenge of some
challenges
kind,
us.
Right?
And if I can say, that's my cross, and mm-hmm. I love that cross.
And we embrace it.
And we embrace it with joy. And we move forward. Again, we're not quiet. We don't mm-hmm. sit there and wait.
Right. We take action.
We take action and move through it. Then we find our peace and our joy in the cross that we've just embraced and picked up. And that's what makes us great in the kingdom of heaven, that we're men and women, children, people, young adults of the cross. That's our identity.
And so many things, it manifests itself in different ways, yet it has that common unity that unites all of us in our faith.
And it's something that we can share together. And sometimes we share the cross. We don't have to do it all by ourselves. At times, there's moments when we share it as a community. Mm-hmm. There's things in our families that may have happened to one person or few, but the family is affected by that, or the community, the parish is affected by that. And instead of pointing fingers or judging, mm-hmm. Like that reconciliation with the father and his son, we share in that. That's our crosses. Sometimes they're my crosses, but other times they're our crosses that we share together. And that brings us closer to Jesus, but it brings us closer to one another as well.
We're unified in that challenge, whether it's a suffering or whether it's a sacrifice that we make. That still forms a sense of unity.
We see that often, too. I mean, I know here with hurricanes and things, when there's any kind of suffering, any kind of difficulty, people do come together. If it's not in a religious sense, mm-hmm. it is, and that's it's innate in all of us, that desire to serve, to show compassion, mm-hmm. to show mercy. And so a tragedy like that in a Uvalde or one of those, it brings people together. Mm-hmm. And that's not that those crosses are intentional, God forbid, mm-hmm. but they do happen. It's part of human life. And to see that's where we can see the value in every cross. We don't wish for them. We don't glory them, especially if they're tragic. But they're there. And to find that there is meaning, there's value there for us to pick up our cross and to prove ourselves as true children of God and brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ in his kingdom.
When we take that action, we draw nearer to him, but also to one another.
It gives us the grace. I mean, I think there's the other thing, as we cooperate with him through his cross mm-hmm. in the daily life, the grace of the Holy Spirit is there as well. Because on the cross, and I said this before, but Jesus bowed his head, St. John says, and gave up the Spirit. So when there's a cross, the Spirit is there to assist us. I used to do classes in the parish, and I'd say, you know, when do you feel stronger in your faith, when you're having a good time at a party mm-hmm. or when you're on the cross or experiencing some difficulty in the family? Mm-hmm. Everyone, 100%, it's when I'm having trouble.
Right.
Because there is the power of the Holy Spirit there to assist us and help us. And I think that's what Jesus is distinguishing between John, mm-hmm. who's the greatest born of woman because he was a precursor, and those who are born into the kingdom of heaven through the action of taking up the cross every day and following Jesus mm-hmm. is greater in the kingdom of heaven. I don't know if the word greater really is what he really meant as mm-hmm. far as a quantitative, qualitative.
Right, the way we would think of greater.
Different, yeah, uh-huh. But I think it's just an analogy that there is greatness in taking up the cross every day and following him.
So many things in that last statement of the gospel, that we talked about it, kind of a twisting, kind of turning, but you clarified it beautifully, Bishop. Thank you for that. I think that helps us set the course for this third week of Advent as we get nearer to Christmas and we prepare our hearts and minds, and we're quite blessed to be able to.
Don't forget that the theme is joy.
The theme is joy.
The purpose is not to pull us down, it's to lift us up.
And we find our joy there through Jesus. Exactly. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Bishop, if you could close our program today with a prayer and a blessing.
Heavenly Father, your Son has given us the way, the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and he brings us the joy that we need to live our life. Give us a true sense of the meaning of that joy in our life. May the crosses of this week, the crosses of everyday life, not turn us away, but cause us to come closer to you and to experience your joy and your love. And may Almighty God bless us, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.